Pray, O Lord, that you would anoint my lips to faithfully proclaim your holy word. Give us your Holy Spirit to not only understand your word, but to apply it unto our lives. For we ask these things through Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. While I was in college, in order to earn a little bit of money, I worked as a night security guard on my college campus. It was during this time I learned to drink coffee, because staying awake and alert was an extremely important requirement of the job, and it was within the domain of my responsibility to keep safe the students on the campus. I remember the head security guard saying to me, "We supply you with a billy club. If you don't want to use it, don't even carry it, because if you don't use it on the offender, he will use it on you." Okay. Words failed to express my relief when the sun began to rise. It not only meant my shift was coming to an end, but I also had an existential feeling of security once it was light out. Well, this morning in our gospel reading, it speaks about security and being on the alert. In fact, it even talks about a doorman, a doorkeeper. It is one thing to wait for something to happen, like me waiting for the sun to rise. You may feel that that day or hour will never arrive, but at time it does come. On the other hand, to be told by our Lord, as we are in Mark 13, that he is coming, and no one knows when that could be. Is it before the end of my sermon or 1,000 years from now? We don't know. And yet, that makes the challenge, stay alert, rather difficult. If we knew it was staying alert for a month or 10 years or the rest of your life, well, it's the rest of your life part. It could come at any moment. But we have to stay alert, and it's hard to do that over a longer and longer period of time. In contrast to the many sermons I have preached here, this sermon is not going to have 2 or 3 points. It's one point, stay alert. One theme and one point, as our Lord tells us to stay alert under 2 illustrations. And so our Lord uses these two illustrations to apply the duty to keep alert, with first the illustration of the fig tree and then the example of the doorkeeper. The illustration of the fig tree is a reminder that the signs our Lord points to earlier in Mark 13 have been evident in most generations since our Lord's ascension into heaven. So let me review. He speaks about the signs being earthquakes, wars and rumors of war, the persecution of Christian believers, the presence of a false Christ and false teachers, which have been with us every generation since the time of Christ. Add to this the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, which happened within the lifetime of the apostles. So Jesus says about the fig tree in Mark 13, 28 and 29, "Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. Even so, you too, when you see these things happening, recognize that he is near, right at the door." Our Lord is saying, when these things happen, he is near. The challenging aspect of this duty to stay alert is that one can accurately say, since Christ's second coming has been near since the destruction of the temple, that we, since that time, have to stay alert because he is near. The only thing delaying our Lord's return is the Lord himself, who will come back in his time, not ours. In the destruction of Jerusalem, we see an example of God's judgment and salvation within this life, which foreshadows God's final judgment and salvation at the end of time. Let me review what I said last week about the destruction of the temple. When the Jewish Christians heard of Titus, the general, that he was coming towards Jerusalem with his army, they fled to the city of Petra, which is a city 40 miles north of Jerusalem. and their lives were preserved from the ravages of the Roman army. Petra means rock. This escape from Jerusalem and flight to Petra foreshadows the Lord's salvation of his people at the last day, when he ushers in his eternal kingdom, when the new heavens and the new earth happens. Jesus Christ will end history and resurrect all people. Those who are not his people will endure his judgment for all eternity. Those who are his people through faith in Jesus Christ will have a resurrection body and eternal life with God forever and ever. The destruction of the temple and the whole city of Jerusalem foreshadows God's judgment on his enemies and his salvation of his people. In this temporal judgment within history, it serves as a sign of God's final and complete judgment on his enemies, as well as his saving mercy on his people. So that's what the fig tree is warning us. Summer is near, and as he's been near, it has been near, and Jesus is near to his second coming, which could happen at any time. It could happen this afternoon, or it may not happen in my lifetime. I don't know. Before I move on to the next illustration of how to properly stay alert, I want to cover some words of Jesus which to this day I don't clearly understand. Here we go. Mark 13:30 says this: "Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place." To those who may wonder what this means, join the crowd, because I don't fully understand what our Lord was saying there. And as I'll explain, I think you will get to it as well. This doesn't mean I haven't consulted commentaries, theologians, and other scholars. I have, and while a number of interpretations have been attempted to explain what these words mean, I'm not thoroughly convinced by any of those interpretations. So you might be saying, well, what's this all about? Earlier in Mark 13, Jesus had been talking about the fact that when these things happen, eventually Jesus will come again. His angels will gather his elect from the four corners of the earth. So when Jesus says all these things will happen within this generation, the apostles came and died, and Jesus hasn't come back yet. So what's Jesus saying? This generation will not pass away until all these things happen. Well, the beginning of the stages of the signs of the times, the wars, the persecution of believers, earthquakes, presence of false messiahs, and even the destruction of the temple happened. But here, Jesus is saying all these things, including this: "Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send forth the angels and will gather his elect from the four winds, from the farthest end of heavens." That sounds like Second Advent language to me. Now, if it hadn't dawned on you before, it should now. How can Jesus be saying this generation will not pass away until all these things take place, including his Second Advent? The apostles and others listening to Jesus did pass away, and the second advent still hasn't happened. So the question remains, what is Jesus talking about? And I have to say again, I'm not totally sure. I will go over some of these interpretations, but again, I have to say, I'm a little bit skeptical because none of them satisfy me as being convincing. One viewpoint tries to show or see the fulfillment of all these things as happening in the destruction of the temple. And I say, but how does that relate to the second advent? So they interpret it as everything except this. I don't think that does justice to all these things. It's kind of selective. Another interpretation says, well, the beginning of these things is fulfilled. Again, on that viewpoint, well, something beginning to be fulfilled and something totally being fulfilled is two different things. So again, I'm not sure that fulfills what Jesus is talking about, all these things. Another viewpoint interprets the word generation differently, not a chronological group, age group, but a race or a group of people, referring either to the Jews or to the Christian church. So in that sense, these people will not pass away until he comes again. That has some possibilities, but I still ask the question, is that what Jesus meant by generation? So I even called my good Bishop David Hicks, and he says, I don't know. Well, like I said, if you don't quite sure what Jesus is talking about, join the crowd. Having been honest about, I'm not sure what Jesus is really meaning, is it generation or is it all these things? It's perplexing, but I will move on with the only caveat that sometimes the sayings of our Lord or other parts of Scripture are clear, but not everything Jesus said was clear, and this is one of those things. If you have the answer to this riddle, see me after the service. Jesus then goes on to say in Mark 13:31, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Regarding Jesus' words that heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away, New Testament scholar R.T. France says this, the reliability of the word of Jesus is no less than that of the word of God himself. In Matthew 5:18 and Luke 16, verse 17, the same imagery is used for the permanent validity of God's law. Jesus' words are thus on a par with God's law in terms of authority and permanence. Jesus is really echoing the language of Isaiah chapter 40, verses 7 and 8, where the prophet says this, the grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Jesus makes his words equal to the words of Scripture with equal value because Jesus is God. His words, therefore, have divine and permanent authority. Jesus then goes on to say in Mark 13:32 that neither the angels nor the Son know the time of his second coming. Jesus is conscious of his unique and eternal relationship with God the Father as the eternal Son of God. But with reference to his human nature, there is a limitation, a self-limitation of his knowledge. According to Jesus' humanity, what the Father has not revealed to him about the future, he does not know. And again, that's mystery, because normally we speak of God as all-knowing. And Jesus is God, and yet he says he doesn't know. I interpret that in regard to his humanity. The absolute certainty of Christ's return and the uncertainty as to its precise timing provides with us the strongest motivation to stay alert and to be found faithful at his arrival. We can only do that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. This brings us to the second illustration of keeping watch and staying alert for Christ's second coming, and he illustrates it by using the illustration of a doorkeeper. Our Lord says these words in Mark 13:34 and 35. Take heed, keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time will come. It is like a man away on a journey who upon leaving his house and putting his slaves in charge and assigning to each one his own task, also commanded the doorkeeper to stay alert. In private homes, each homeowner is responsible for the security and safety of his own home. And we employ methods such as locking up when you leave the house, which may also include house alarms and other security methods. I remember the day when we didn't used to lock up in my town, But there came a day when we said, Mom and Dad said, you always got to lock up now. There's robberies. In fact, in some big cities, there are doormen who are employed for the express purpose of enhanced security. They want to know who's going in. Do you belong here? And if you don't, you have no business being here. Who are you coming to see? It's in this illustration that Jesus is building upon it and the need to keep watch and stay alert. It's important for us to remind ourselves of our own call as Christ's disciples to be watchful, for we do not know the time of Christ's coming. It's the appropriate attitude of those who know their master and know that he may come at any time. Now, no one can stay awake all the time. It's just not possible. Sometimes even night security guards doze off. And yet, we are all given God-given duties in the ordinariness of life, such as work, rest, and relaxation. How we remain prepared while maintaining the ordinary responsibilities of life, we are left to work out for ourselves. The judgment that fell on the temple is a foretaste, according to other new passages in the New Testament, of the judgment that will fall on the whole world. Christ's command is ongoing relevance to us to be faithful to the Lord and not to compromise with the standards of this world. We're not to live for our own pleasures, but in the newness of Christ's resurrection life and obedience to God's holy will and commandments. That's how we stay alert. We trust in the Lord. We ask the Lord to give us grace to shine as lights. And even when we don't shine at a particular moment in the day, we ask for Christ's forgiveness. That's staying alert. To stay awake also means to put off the old ways of sin, death, and darkness, and to embrace the new way of Christ's righteousness, holiness, and the truth of our Lord, who is the way, the truth, and the life. We are to bless and praise his holy name, Lord God Almighty. And so we pray to God that we would remain faithful to him and stay alert. As Christ is the light of the world, so we need to bear witness to him as light. Stay alert. Keep watch. Let us pray. We bless and praise your holy name, Lord God Almighty. Help us to remain faithful to you and always be looking for the coming of your only begotten Son. Even as we cry out, Maranatha, even so come, Lord Jesus. This we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Come, thou almighty King.